Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Fine, how are you, Andrew? You're still very summery.
It's like for our American listeners, it's in like the 50s here in London. It's pretty cold. But yes, I'm fighting the good fight because it's still early September and I don't want to put a ski jacket on. But yes, it is. It's a bit cooler, but yes, I'm still trying to be quite summery. And how are you doing?
Just fine, thank you. Was very intrigued by the presidential debate. I mean, it seems that the consensus is Harris won, but it's unclear how much of an impact it's going to have on voters. So that we find out over the coming week, basically.
I have to say, I vote. It's good to get people's views, but I never really understood the idea of like choosing somebody by who's quicker wit or who, I don't know, but I could be, I could be an outlier on that. But yeah, and of course, the undecided is got to be such a small, as somebody put it in this chat room I'm in. The undecided is such a small group. It's really which group gets their base, because not everyone votes, their base fired up enough, and then really fired up enough to create that getting people out the vote. I mean, there's so much effort that goes into getting people, older people, very young people, and that definitely feels probably it's more on the Democrat side now, but we still
Yeah,
have
Taylor Swift. She's moving
Taylor Swift may still
economies.
be moving.
It looks like she's moving elections as well.
I mean, it's a good point. I mean, perhaps Kamala Harris, appoints Taylor Swift as replacing Jerome Powell.
Anything is possible. I must. I
You know,
mean, we're going
he's like job done, and who better to replace me than the biggest pop star in the world? And yeah, that's how it
Indeed.
happened. But
Who has greater star power than Powell? I think only one person can claim
probably
that.
only her. Yeah, exactly. So to dive right in, just give everyone a timestamp. We're doing it a little bit earlier, so it's Thursday, kind of late afternoon London time. Just in case anyone has any questions about market economic data that came out or market movements, but we have pretty interesting past week. So let's kind of dive in. What you think is the most interesting, data points, news stories, and obviously market reactions?
So
Please, no cats.
besides the debate and the prospect of Trump expelling 11 million illegal migrants if he is elected, probably the CPI. But to be honest, the Fed has made clear that at the moment they are not going to look too closely at the inflation, but much more closely at the labor market. So in my books, perhaps the more important data was the unemployment claims. I mean, this was a week that was a bit quiet for once. And so by default, and those are not going anywhere. There is a 4,000 change in initial claims, and then people get excited, but the reality, it's a very small change in a series which is fairly noisy. It continues to show that the labor market, at least in terms of unemployment, is roughly where it was in 2019.
Oh yeah, sorry, there's a bit of a internet issues, but I'm just closing some stuff.
So
Yeah,
that
let's keep
said,
going.
after the CPI, the market shaved off. I think they had what, one third of a 50 basis point, one third chance of a 50 basis point cut, which I didn't believe. And in any event, the Fed doesn't react to single data points, so I didn't believe it in the first place, and I if it was going to happen, I don't think the CPI would have made that much of a difference. So this is
I guess, yeah, the only market moving thing is something that's, if it's around neutral or it's slightly, more inflationary or stronger growth, that's great. It has to be like pretty bad to really freak out the market, because the market probably is also positioned for that fat tail more than probably you would assume
Hundred
is
percent, yeah.
relevant. That's kind of the big thing. And now the fat tail looking like that, for big downside is overstated, was overstated. Now we're kind of back to we're back on the tracks.
We are indeed. Shall we talk about next week?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, so three reasons for 25 next week. Number one, if you look at the SCP and the Fed likes to think in that way. You know, they had a view in June, so they are going to go to the view and compare how things have worked out relative to their view. There isn't that much of a difference. Inflation is roughly where the Fed wants it to be. My forecast for core PC after this morning PPI and after the CPI, it's about 20 basis points, which is what the Fed needs to hit its forecast of Q4 on Q4 at 2.8%. Inflation is in line, growth a little bit higher, but unemployment is higher. And that's clearly from everything they've been talking about. This is what's catching their attention at the moment. They're all saying that the labor market prospects are good, but you want to be careful not to be too restrictive. So the deviations from their forecast are not that great. Second, they've been talking a lot. I think 12 out of 17, out of 19 FOMC members, they've been on the holler over the past 4 to 6 weeks. Interestingly enough, they have very different, fairly different views, or at least you have some tails to the distribution of views. So on the one hand, you have the uber hawks, like the Kansas City Fed president, Schmidt, who says he needs more evidence before he can decide that it's time to cut to his policy. Now, the Fed doesn't have a tradition of dissent, so if he disagrees strongly with the median FOMC view, he's more likely to put his dot as a one cut for this year rather than a dissent. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've had Goolsbee, who is a Chicago Fed president, who's been on CNBC saying that he's concerned that with every day that passes of a tight Fed policy, we are raising the risk of recession. So uber dove. And him, I would peg him at probably four 2024 cuts. And in between, you have the two and three cuts. And I think, based on what I've read, I think the median is probably going to end up at three cuts.
Well, why then? Why do you think that the market's pricing even outside of that range?
Because hope springs eternal. No, I'm joking. The market has traditionally priced, more than the
I
Fed.
guess they've been that way for 3 years, so
Exactly.
yeah, fine.
Exactly. And also you have the risk of recession. Every day that passes, a new recession scare pops up. In my view, we are not there yet. Obviously, there are a lot of people who are more pessimistic than I am on the economy.
Yeah.
And the last reason, so they are going to do, I think they are likely to show three cuts for this year, which is also my best case. And I think there's another reason why, they are not likely to front load, and which is nimbleness. A Waller had a speech just after the NFP, and everybody was very anxious to hear him because Waller is the guy. He won the debate with Summers on the shape of the Beveridge curve and whether a soft landing was feasible. And he likes to crack jokes. And his first joke was about Simone Biles, you know, that the Fed could not quite hope to be as nimble as she is, but something to aspire to. No, but seriously, I think the reason is the uncertainty, political uncertainty. If Trump wins and if he goes ahead with deporting 11 million, I mean, you realize that we have a big market reaction when the NFP is off by a few tens of thousands of workers. But imagine if we take out 11 million workers from the US, it's going to be chaos. Plus, expelling these people could require the federal state to really impinge on states' rights. So I hope sanity will prevail, and even if he's elected, he won't send the army
Yeah, I
to
think
for the
it's.
National Guard.
Do I think he's going to be tough for the border? Yes. Do I think he's going to deport 11 million people who came into the country illegally? Probably not. I mean, logistically, how, you know, I mean, it's an interesting point you said. There's a point of where the federal has jurisdiction, the state has jurisdiction. So I think it would be pretty complicated. But generally, tariffs and a much tighter border policy are both somewhat inflationary.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're getting a taste of that, I think, with the latest NFP's print, in the sense that we up to June of this year, we've had a combination of a high NFP and rising unemployment, basically because demand was growing strongly, but supply of labor was going even faster. And we've had fairly mild wage growth. And we saw a reversal of that pattern in
Yeah.
August. It's just a month. Plus, this month, it turns out the survey week is happening during another hurricane. So God knows what the NFPs are going to show. But so, yes, I mean, having reducing the workforce. I mean, reducing the workforce by about 8% is definitely not good for the US economy,
Right.
not good for inflation, not good for growth.
Yeah, so big, yeah,
So
big takeaways for next week. I guess, yeah, the Fed is Powell gonna, are they gonna, is he gonna communicate anything different, or are there any surprises you anticipate? Any message that
I
maybe.
if anything, it could be a bit more hawkish than people expect. I mean, he will keep to his, we will decide meeting by meeting based on the totality of the data, blah, blah, blah. But I don't see him underwriting the four cuts the market has for the whole of the year. So there is that political uncertainty, and there is uncertainty on so the decline in immigration we've seen since the administration closed the border in June. The poor man has enough on his plate not to commit himself to any specific course of action at this stage, especially since after this meeting, the next one is the day after the election.
Okay, cool. Any other big I'm guessing that, say, equity markets may take that as, you know, the dollar rallies and equity markets may take that as fairly negative, especially considering, you know, him pushing back on four cuts. I don't think it's the same thing as slightly higher inflation number that shows growth's okay. I mean, we'll see probably, but there is also the point, like, part of the rally is also based upon that rates, you know, rates are getting cut at a time that growth is okay. So this should absolutely be a great time to take risk. But if rates are going to get cut a bit slower, it is possible that, you know, some of the And I guess it still seems like so many people are bearish in equities, but it could result in maybe a bit of a sell-off in risk, even if it's just like a 1 or 2 day thing.
Yeah, so I mean, our own view is that equities are expensive here, so quite vulnerable to a somewhat more hawkish Fed than expected. The other thing that's coming out next week is retail sales. So retail sales is a super detailed release, but the part of the release I like to look at is called the control group, because that part is what is used to build the estimate of consumption in the GDP data. So the consensus has it at 0.3, which is quite reasonable. It's where we were a month ago. Let's keep in mind that this is mainly restaurant and goods spending, so it's only a subset of consumption, and it tends to underestimate consumption because services growth lately has been stronger than goods growth. And it comes out the day before the Fed, not going to impact the Fed because they don't react to single data points. Also, the Fed decision is basically more or less baked in before they come to the FOMC, when Powell has one-on-one chats with every FOMC member. So, won't matter for the Fed, but will give us a chance of how consumption is doing.
Awesome. Anything else or
No, I think the Fed is the main thing.
Okay, cool. Just a quick thing as we like to do often, just highlighting a few pieces this past week. Obviously you've done some kind of follow-ups on CPI review on that. I think it was a great webinar diving into thoughts around why 25 versus 50 for next week. Also, I think it was very interesting, Bilal, maybe more particularly Dalian, could Dalian get to 120? What's going to take it there? And my personal view is that I still think we're probably heading in that direction. Some interesting things on the equity stuff, carry, it's been a choppy probably last couple weeks as well. Interesting piece in FX, looking into what's happening in dollar MEX. Is there an interesting opportunity there? The news out of there has been super bearish for from certainly from locals and from a lot of people. I have a friend that was there recently, but we've had a huge sell-off in the currency. And then the question is, does overall the Mexican economy just so much is like a byproduct of how strong the US is. And so we'll see. But I think that could be kind of an interesting trade. Dive into UK labor market and a bunch of other kind of super interesting stuff. Again, we're in the process of releasing a lot of new tools and analytics, which we recommend for people to check out our website. And a lot of AI work, especially on the central bank stuff, which we'll be releasing the next couple of weeks. So on that, I just kind of wish everyone a well, a happy Friday, which we rarely say, and then a nice weekend and a fun Fed week next week.
Yeah, let's build our forces for the Fed week.
Exactly. Okay, cool. Awesome.